Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match preview show ahead of Liverpool versus Chelsea. I'm Steve Hoare, joined by Chloe Blockram and Dan Clubb. And let's get this out of the way straight away. Hopefully no managers resign during recording of this show, because the last time we did the match preview show, that is exactly what happened. So fingers crossed that doesn't happen today. Let's hopefully anyway. I mean, I don't think it's literally possible anymore now that we know what we know. Right then, guys, welcome to the show. Dan, I'll start with you. Liverpool, Chelsea, Premier League. This is the start of a massive week for Liverpool in terms of what's on the agenda. Chelsea at home, followed by Arsenal away. Mm-hmm. Two of the historically toughest games on the schedule. Two teams who Liverpool have found it difficult to get results against, 3 points or wins or whatever in various competitions. So yeah, it's go time now. We eased back into the post-Klopp announcements world, yeah, with Norwich, but now it's back to business. That all has to be put to one side, because this is a mammoth week in Liverpool's title credentials, in their race, etc.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, it's another test. I mean, whatever we think of Chelsea this season, you know, they tend to be tight games between us and them, and they're going to try and raise their levels coming to Anfield. So yeah, this is the first, if you like, of what could be 29 games of Jurgen Klopp as Liverpool manager left. So it's absolutely massive. The week is massive, as you rightly say as well. And I think the Norwich game at the weekend was sort of the perfect one to sort of, with all due respect to Norwich, sort of get out of the way, because the Anfield was allowed to be sad, it was allowed to be somber, it was allowed to be emotional, because it wasn't required to drag the team through. But tomorrow night in this Chelsea game is going to be a completely different kettle of fish. Anfield's going to have to be at its absolute raucous best. It's going to be fever pitch. He's going to have to drag the lads with him. So I'm anticipating a big old sort of occasion and a big old night from a Liverpool standpoint anyway. But as you rightly say, these games are so often tight. They're so often decided by the odd goal, a little bit of magic, a mistake potentially here and there. And Liverpool just needs to make sure we're on the right side of all of that between now and the end of May, essentially.
Absolutely, Chloe. We've got t-shirts out on Redman, haven't we? The new one saying it's the last dance for Jürgen. They're available now, by the way, Redman mates. There you go, there they are. Jürgen, the last dance. The best memories are still to come. That quote as well. And that this is the start of it. For that all to be true, Chloe, the last dance, the best memories. Liverpool could do with beating Chelsea, really. Seven times Liverpool have drawn with Chelsea over 90 minutes. Of course, there's two penalty shootout wins included. The last seven games between these two sides has been all square after 90 minutes. But Liverpool, really, when they haven't won titles in the past, you can always look back at, like, they probably drew one too many or something like that. It's about time they put that record to bed and beat this Chelsea team, any Chelsea team, because it's been since 2020 and lockdown that Liverpool have beaten them over 90 minutes. Wednesday's a good place to start changing that record and that narrative.
Yeah, it is. And also, you know, if you're beating Chelsea, you're bouncing into Arsenal, yeah, put it that way, because yeah, Chelsea is, like we know, a really hard fixture at home and away. Last season, it was possibly one of the worst Chelsea sides I've ever seen play at Anfield, and yet we couldn't, you know, get past them. And Liverpool need to make sure now. I said it as soon as I heard Jurgen Klopp was, you know, leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. We've got 9 Premier League home games left. We need to create 9 unbelievable atmospheres. We need to create 9 of the greatest Anfield atmospheres, because we need to help this side get over the line and see Jurgen out in the best possible way. We never got to fully celebrate a Premier League win in terms of the title under Jurgen Klopp, because we were all in lockdown. So for it to end this way, we really need to support the lads. We need to forget about the fact that Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool are coming to an end, and that's why it was so good for the Norwich game to be the first game, because everyone could be somber, but now we can't. We've got to create an absolutely deafening atmosphere. We need to pressurise them, we need to scare them, and Liverpool are known to do that. So we need to make sure that we do get over the line, pick up three massive points, and that's just an extra boost to go into Arsenal.
Absolutely. Let's have a little look at Chelsea then, Dan, before we speak about the Reds. Form wise, they're in good form. They've won their last three Premier League games. You can see there on the table, for those who are watching along, I'll scroll up, they're so far down, I was cutting them off there. You go, they're still in ninth position now. Like I say, they've won three consecutive league games. They also battered Middlesbrough in the League Cup. They did draw at the weekend in the FA Cup, so they've got a replay to handle as well. They drew 0-0, didn't they, against Aston Villa. Made a couple of changes. Mauricio Pochettino's mentioned today they've got a couple of lads back, so Gusto and Nkunku are available. They are still without a fair few, though, to be fair. No Fofana, Rhys James, Cucurella, Lavia, as well, of course. Robert Sanchez, Chalobah and Levi Colwell are all still out. So Chelsea, a little bit like Liverpool, missing a couple of players. But they I felt like when the both times we played Chelsea is almost coming at a bad time for Liverpool. First game of the season, different kettle of fish. Then they were rubbish. Yeah. But it feels like we're getting them now, just as they've come back into a little bit of form. Pochettino's made, you know, his signings are all bedded in. They're making an impact in the side. He's half got his head around what he needs to do. It does feel like it'd have been easier playing Chelsea in November, for example, than it is playing them in January.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And you're having on the opening day, actually I was quite impressed with Chelsea, to be honest with you, in that first game. I thought they would be maybe not a force we reckoned with, but certainly outperforming what they're doing right now. And I think form's all relative. Yes, they look better. They look like they've got some sort of structure, some sort of system. Pochettino's ideas, look like they are getting across to them now, but it couldn't have got much worse for them, because it in the form stakes, really. So I'm not overly concerned. I think from a Liverpool standpoint, if we just play our game and impose ourselves on this Chelsea side, we're still the better team. 1-11, squad-wise, etc., etc. They've got a decent long list of injuries there. Liverpool are welcoming a lot of our absentees back for this one, of course. So I'm loath to say I make us very heavy favourites for this one, because it is a Liverpool-Chelsea game. We've already spoken about the long list of draws that we've had with them. But at home, with all the factors that we're playing now, what it means to Liverpool, like Chelsea's sort of hunt for European football from a league point of view is not off, but it also looks very, very unlikely. So what they're fighting for, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it is an FA Cup, something like that instead. So yeah, if Liverpool can't beat this Chelsea side, this current iteration of a Chelsea team, I'm not sure how ready we are to win this Premier League. And that's a big thing to say, because you can draw in and go on to do mad things. Of course you can. But realistically, Liverpool need to be putting 3 points on the board against this Chelsea team.
No, I would agree, and I suppose Klopp as well. From a form's relative, is Nick, Chelsea have won games that they probably were meant to win. They weren't able to make changes the other day and beat Aston Villa. So it is a little bit relative to how it is now. They're missing Cole Palmer, and I don't think he starts at the weekend. He's been like the main catalyst for. So apologies, you know, he starts up front. They've been lacking a forward option in Kunku.
It's been Jackson a bit, hasn't it?
Jackson's been in out on Kunku, obviously been injured as well.
Bro, again.
I don't think he fancy him at all. He's always linked away.
Exactly, he's always been linked away. So they have got good players, you know, if you think about it. Fernandez is having a good season. Sterling, Mazowiecki's been good. Cole Palmer's been good. They have got a threat, but also they have shown if they find it tough, Chelsea, it feels like everything's a slog for them, and Liverpool have obviously got the ability to do the same to them. It's very rarely, they battered Middlesbrough, that's kind of the exception. You don't really feel Chelsea ever like comfortable in games. It always feels like it's a bit of a scrap.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know the dangers of them. They know what they did to City. I mean, it wasn't it like 4-4? And I think we have a better defence than City do. So that is, you know, where I'm really putting my hat on this. And we will give up chances, because every team has chances in the Premier League. We just need to limit where their chances come from and how many they come from. And also, look, when we played them back on the first day of the season, we were a side that was very much not developed. You know, the new lads that just came in. We hadn't had a pre-season, a full pre-season with a lot of those lads. And now it feels like, even now, I don't think we've been at our best. We've not been at the, you know, peak of what we all think Liverpool can play at, but we certainly are in more of a rhythm and playing a lot better. And if Liverpool play to the peak of their powers, I don't think Chelsea stand a chance, but we need to make sure that we do that. Sometimes you do let the occasion get to us, and it's a massive game because Manchester City are breathing down our necks, and they've got a, you know, a fairly easy fixture, let's be honest. So we just need to focus on ourselves and get the job done. And we know with our front three, they will get chances. Put Darwin Nunes on the back of Thiago Silva and feed him the ball first time and time again, and see what we can do. We've seen Diogo Jota put the ball to his feet in the box, and he's going to get a goal. Luis Diaz looks like he's coming a bit more back into form. And we've got the options in midfield again. You've got Curtis Jones back, you've got Dom back, you've got Trent back. You know, there's a lot of players who are coming back. Thiago's back in training. So it feels like Liverpool are on the up with atmosphere of bringing players back. We have enough from the bench as well if we need it. So yeah, once again, if Liverpool play to the best of their ability, we are miles better than Chelsea in this moment.
Yeah, fingers crossed they can do just that. Let's hold the Reds then. We'll shift away from Chelsea there. We'll see what team they pick. As like I said, we've got a few injuries. The team half picks itself, to be honest with you. You're probably going to see Gallagher, Sterling, Cole Palmer, Madueke in some type of four. I'm guessing Nkunku's only come off the bench. You'll see Fernandez. He'll definitely, I mean, probably Casado. Be interesting to see how he gets a reaction. And then
if we could spin him, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, and then obviously at the back, I'm guessing, we know the goalkeeper's Petrovic. Sanchez is out. You're probably looking at
Thiago Silva,
yeah. De Zazzi. It looks like, like I say, Gusto could be back for this one as well. So yeah, their team half picks itself. Liverpool's team doesn't, Dan, but actually it's for the right reason now. So we saw the other day, Liverpool had made a few changes against Norwich, of course, but getting Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andy Robertson back, and Dom Szoboszlai back, all for this game, and Alexis McAllister, Jürgen confirmed at his press conference today. Alexis is fine, he's ready to go. So all of a sudden, the Reds 11 looks better and the Reds bench looks better, and it feels like, again, this is, look, if it is going to be a tight game like we think it might be, not only the 11 but having a strong bench should really be a massive bonus for the Reds, because I look back to that United game in particular, maybe Arsenal, and you just think, I wonder if Jota was Jota, if they had one more maybe available to go, they might have won both of those games. They've got, you know, they have got Jota now, and they've got the ability to make changes off the bench. It could be huge.
Yeah, massive, and it has been so far this season. Jürgen Klopp utilised the options off the bench brilliantly at times, and he's changed the direction of travel of football matches by doing that as well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he had to send for the cavalry at one point. It'd be nice if he didn't, and we got the job done with whatever 11 he picks from the start. But yeah, having those options back and having the strength in depth is a massive, massive strength for Liverpool. There's been numbers ran on this in recent weeks in terms of how good and how strong Liverpool are at the back end of games, and that is in no small part down to the actual bench and the quality we can bring off. Because I remember earlier in the season, we bring in on like Diogo Jota and Cody Gakpo when Salah was still around. It's like, if you're a defender looking at that and you've been man-magged by Darwin Nunes, Luis Diaz, Mohamed Salah when he was here and whoever else, and then you see two more seasoned international footballers coming on, you must think, oh, what's going on here? So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Liverpool had to do something like that. It would be nice, as I say, if we didn't. But yeah, the fact that it's been a huge advantage for us, like I say, so far this season. And that's the kind of the key that we have over most of our rivals, I'd say. Manchester City, obviously, they're probably the closest in terms of that. But I'm not sure anyone has the quality of depth that we have, certainly not in the attacking department. It is frightening. And if one of our attackers isn't on it, or for whatever, or a different type of game suits a different one, or whatever, if people got a low block and Nunes isn't getting any joy, you can turn to different types of forwards, and that is absolutely massive.
Absolutely, you're spot on. We'll talk about the team forwards in a moment. Chloe, let's go through the 11 then, what we think Jürgen might not do, because it's interesting really, because he has got both Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold available now. Add to that the players who've been playing regularly at the moment, so Conor Bradley and Joe Gomez, you've got Konate, you've got Quansah, you've got Van Dijk, he's all of a sudden got options again. So yeah, obviously we know Alisson's in goal, we know Van Dijk's going to play, Trent's going to play, would think, at right back, with all due respect to Bradley and Gomez. I think Trent comes back in. So the two questions are, what did he do next to Van Dijk, and then who plays at left back as well? We'll start with centre half. Who do you think
Konate. Kwanzaa played midweek, so let's just keep rotating them. Yep. And by the way, Konate has stepped up massively. It was only a couple of weeks ago we played that Arsenal side away from home in the Carabao Cup, and Konate could have been man of the match. He was absolutely exceptional. He stood up when needed. And yeah, I think, you know, Konate comes right back into it. Left back is Gomez. There's no way I'm changing it right now.
I was thinking it might be the other way. I wonder if he goes Robertson and home at Ampno, home against Chelsea, and then maybe Gomez away at Arsenal. Gomez done a job on Saka at Arsenal.
He did.
The issue is, Dan, Robbo's been injured, but he's not been unfit, and he's been able to train the whole time. Mm-hmm. So we don't know yet. We'll find out. But he was doing all of the gym work. He was doing all the running. It's not like he lost any fitness per se. It was just a shoulder wasn't clear for contact. So it would be massively harsh on Joe Gomez for him to miss out. But also Andy Robbo's Liverpool's left back. So that is a decision, really. I agree with Trent. It's easier. A, he's Trent. Yeah. And B, with all you're replacing a young lad who you don't have to worry about. But like Joe Gomez couldn't have done any more.
No, he couldn't have done. But I wonder whether his inclusion on the weekend against Norwich was one eye on the fact that he might need a little bit of a rest potentially. I was quite surprised that he started that game. It felt like Owen Beck, who now, as we know, has gone back to Dundee, felt like he was a bit of a shoo-in for that. Yeah. But maybe the Dundee factor is part of that also. But I would be amazed if Joe Gomez started this one, as harsh as it may be, because I agree he's been absolutely exceptional. But this is Andy Robertson we're talking about. As much as we sort of pass it off as this is Trent, Andy Robertson falls into the same category. He's a world-class left-back.
I agree, but do you think there's a risk in starting both of them? Like, you know what I mean? Like, two lads on their first start. I'm just playing devil's
advocate. If they hadn't had minutes, I would agree with you. Yeah. But both Robertson's been in two squads, didn't come on in the first game, came on the second one. Trent had minutes. If neither of them had minutes, yes, I'd be in a completely different conversation right now. I'd be Gomez. I'd even be considering Bradley potentially, and then Trent later on. But they've both had a game essentially to get back into it now. Yeah, they both start for me. I don't see a world where they don't. The game's too important to not pick what I perceive as being the strongest 11, especially when they've both got minutes under the belt, as I say. So I'd be Robertson, and I'd be Robertson essentially exclusively from now until he can't play anymore, because Joe Gomez, brilliant job, absolutely incredible, and he's still going to get minutes along the way. He might have to do 20 minutes tomorrow night for Andy Robertson. Robertson might not be ready for the whole 90. So yeah, that's the way I'd be.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Going.
If I've potentially got to take him off, Andy Robertson off, that's one sub that I already know I'm going to make, and I don't not.
You got five. You got five now. That's slightly different, isn't it?
I don't care.
I would go Robbo and Trent, because I'd want Gomez. I'd start Gomez at Arsenal. Would be what I would do. Mm. I think this is a game at Liverpool. Should be on the front foot a little bit more. I think that's what I would do. I'd be interested. I actually think Jürgen might start both of them.
For me.
And his reasoning is, close out to Kutosha, his reason is Gomez has played loads. You can say to Joe, I'm not dropping you, I'm resting you. And whether he is or not, Gomez played so many minutes now, and it's like, mate,
he's probably due a rest.
Thank you so much, but I'm worried about you. And you can half give him the conversation of, I'm going to play you against Arsenal anyway. So I think he'll probably go Robbo Trent.
If it's Robbo, I'm happy with Robbo. Yeah. It's just, for me, I can't overlook what Joe Gomez has done so far. And also, I feel like the balance of the team's just a lot better when Joe Gomez is in. I don't know why, I just feel like it is. And it is because, you know, he's not as the flying fullback as Andy Robbo is. And when Trent, you're telling him to push higher up and be not in a right back position when you're telling them to move into the centre of the pitch alongside McAllister, I kind of like that the three centre halves switch. And that'd be my trouble. Look, I think Cole Palmer at the beginning, when someone told me he was going to like 65 mil, I'd have laughed at you. But right now, he's in unbelievable form. And if they try and get us on the counter or anything, Joe Gomez is the one who, for me, in the last couple of weeks, has proved defensively he's been unbelievable. His position has been great. And look, like I said, if Andy Robbo starts, absolutely boss. I love Andy Robbo. And he is our left back. But I just feel like the balance of the team is at the moment, a lot better with Joe Gomez in. And we've seen him cut inside and carry the ball. Like, he's been doing these runs that Andy Robbo have actually been doing. He's just been closer to the goal and had shots from it.
I suppose if Trent's playing, or that,
That's what he does.
That you can't have Gomez and Trent inverting. No, I mean, you could. Can't. It'd be chaos. we'll see how it goes. We're 2-for-1, I think, on what we think might happen. Let's move into midfield. Then McAllister is fit and available, so we're all pretty convinced that he will play. I mean, there's an option of Trent in midfield, but I don't really see the manager doing that. So he's got decisions to make in front of him now. Obviously, if Alexis plays. Kurt, please.
Yeah, nailed on. 100%. Probably one of the first names on the team.
I would say so at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, no
birthday
doubt.
Birthday boy as well.
Absolutely no doubt. Birthday today. Happy birthday to Curtis Jones. Mm. What a birthday that was then. What a cake that was then. Nice. The other side is interesting, Dan.
Yeah.
Elliot, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch. You can throw Gakpo in this mix if you want to as well. Thiago's back in training. Thank God, but he's not available for this one yet. But that's something that to keep an eye on down the line as well. What you see happening again? Logic dictates Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
But is the manager going to just throw three lads who have all been injured straight back in the team? That's the only reason it wouldn't be. And also, to be fair, the other lads who have played have done well. So, again, Gravenberch got a goal if they had a good game. Yeah. Or be on the other side. Elliot has been really, really good again. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like probably it's time to go back to Szoboszlai.
It's interesting. Elliot obviously didn't feature at all on the weekend.
He did. That's a good point.
Which would suggest that he would be in line for a start, potentially. The way it tends to work is like that. Cody Gakpo started this game earlier on in the season. I don't see that happening this time necessarily. The injured factor in terms of Szoboszlai, Trent and Robertson is a thing. But as you said earlier with Robert, I don't think any of them have lost fitness, because Robbo's injury was a shoulder one, so he was able to carry on doing a lot of work. And Trent and Szoboszlai have been out for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe, in Szoboszlai's case, so they haven't had time really to lose their fitness necessarily, so I have no major concerns over that really. And therefore, having said all that, I would be with Szoboszlai for this, just because I think he had a little dip in his form, because when you consider how good he was when he first came into the side, he was just incredible. I don't think he was quite at those heights as when he sort of left it, but he is an incredible footballer. He offers absolutely everything we need in that midfield. I really like Ryan Gravenberch. I obviously really like Harvey Elliott as well, but I'm just thinking, what is almost like your Champions League final 11? That's kind of how I'm looking at this game, and I'm taking no chances, I'm pulling no punches, I'm going to Szoboszlai.
Yep, I'd agree 100% with that.
He is one you can take off as well. You don't really ever want to sub your fullbacks if you don't, but you can sub your midfielders. Yeah. So if you think he's got an hour in him, then you want to look after him, then at least you've got the options of Gravenberch and Harvey Elliott on the bench. Gakpo again if you need to. So good options as well.
I'm going with Szobo for the main reason of, I just feel like, I think Harvey Elliott's been brilliant all season, to be perfectly honest. I feel hard done by, but I just need the presence. I need you to be able to, you can't lose 50-50s. You've got to be strong enough in this side to face Chelsea. And also his quality from set pieces. We saw it the other day against Virgil, and set pieces are massive in this game, especially when you can see that we struggle to score from open play against Chelsea. Mm. Hopefully a set piece here or there, if you put it in the right spot, Virgil will be there. So yeah, for me, it makes the most sense. He's got energy to burn. So yeah, for me, Szobo, more quality on the ball, and his set pieces will hopefully be vital.
Okay. Let's talk about up front then. This is interesting. I'm trying to think, is anyone even nailed on? And it's hard to think who's nailed on.
It's just got to be Diogo Jota.
I think Jota, because he didn't start the other He went off. Did he go off?
He didn't start against Fulham.
I'm trying to think minutes wise. Yeah. But they've all had loads of minutes because there's no real clues in the minutes with Salah being out. I'm just checking the. Yeah, so obviously they started Jota on the right the other day, then it was and Darwin and Gakpo, they were all interchanging.
Yeah.
So obviously it was Luis Diaz who didn't get on. Obviously he does get on and has a massive impact towards the end of the game with another one of his outrageous flicks. Is Jota the banker then, do we think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's another one of them. We've skirted around it, really. You want your best lads on the pitch from the start, and I think Jota falls into that category.
I apologise, he did play 90 against Norwich. It was Darwin who went off.
So minutes, it's one of them, unfortunately, with the front line at the moment. No, as much as we can do a lot of the rotation, a lot of the you need a rest sort of stuff further back, without Salah, without one of our key options there, they're kind of all going to have to go and go and go. And obviously, there will come a point whereby if one of them's in the red zone, that simply can't be the case. But providing that isn't the case, I think we just go with Jota. I really do. And maybe there's 20 minutes off towards the back end of the game if we can afford it, who knows. But when you've got somebody as deadly, and I'm not going to say anything brand new here, so there's no point, when you've got somebody like Diogo Jota, you just have to start him in game. But the games that can be so tight, games that can be turned on a moment, games whereby you might only get one or two half chances, your XG might only be up once or twice, has to be Diogo Jota.
Where?
On the right. I think he might be the best one on the right as well. And I don't love it, but he's on the right nominally. You said it a moment ago, and I think I said it in the build-up. That front three, and even if it's Diaz instead of Gakpo, it's so interchangeable. The only one that doesn't really fit is Nunes on the right, I would say. And even that is a thing that can happen. I think he's on the right in sort of name alone. And as the game sort of goes on, he pops up all over the place anyway. So it doesn't really bother me that.
What do you think, Klopp?
Yeah, I think he probably will play on the right, but I'd play him up top. I'd tell Diaz to get back out on the right. Yeah,
okay. That's what I'd do as well. Yeah. I'd have Diaz on the right, Nunes on the left, and Jota.
But when you see where the goals have come from in recent times, they're kind of like, again, they're all over the place. Like Nunes was on the left for a while and he scored that goal centrally the other day. You know what I mean? So it was like, yes, and also, especially when the play breaks down and you're in transition, there is no set positions then. So the goals kind of come from all over the place. It's more about getting those lads on the pitch than anything else.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. I'm just thinking if Trent is the one who's going to play right back, I wouldn't mind me right back being someone who plays, me right winger being someone who's a bit more willing, on the touchline. Jota wants to be inside all the time.
It is Diaz,
even when he plays right, he wants to get chalk on his boots. He'll cut in with the ball, but I mean, his starting position is often a bit more wide. The other option, of course, there is if Szoboszlai is playing, he goes and fills that role, which we know he can do. I think we'd all agree it has to be Jota, Nunes, Diaz.
Yes.
It, with all due respect to Cody Gakpo, the stinker the other weekend, like, bless him. It's just what order you put them in. Okay, the fluidity of it all is the difference. But we have found it difficult to score against Chelsea, Chloe. That goes without saying. I'm just looking at their record so far this season defensively. It's not brilliant. You know, they've conceded 31 goals in the Premier League. They only played 21 games. The goal difference is, they're ninth and they're on 4 goal difference. They've scored 35, which is actually not bad, but they've conceded 31. They've shown they can get got at. They are playing, they've got a couple of injuries at the back. They've got a sub goalie in as well. Like, all these guys up front for the Reds should be, you know, they should be the ones thinking, you know, we can win this game because there are goals to be had against Chelsea. Just not for us, apparently. Like we everyone else has found all right with it, but we've half struggled with it. But it does feel like there are goals to be had against them.
Yeah, and you go back to the first game of the season, that was a front three that hadn't really played together before. This is a front three now that feels like there's, you know, we talk about how interchanging they are. They know the positions. Mm. We've got Darwin Nunes there with maybe 10 goals and 11 assists in all competitions. Diogo Jota, who just feels like everything he touches turns into magic, aside from all the other chances he had the other day where he blazed them over the bar.
Unless it's a right footed half volley and he's fucking clueless.
It was half like he was practicing.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll give that a go. This is the one thing I can't do, that's just working. So, but when the first one missed, he was like, No, okay. There is a saying, like, if a first don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
At some point, Diogo, the dipping right footed half volley, it might just not be in the bag, which is sound. You've got everything else. Yeah, give them a miss.
The first one he did was quite close, and then the second one, he ballooned it into the carpet. It was like he'd got sick and tired of doing it. But yeah, look, these lads can get at that defence, especially without a Levi Colwill. I'm not sure who's going to play for them in that position instead. And yeah, Liverpool just need to run them into the ground. It's that simple. And we can do that with the atmosphere. And what we need to make sure is that everyone who goes that game, no matter if it's a slow start or quite a boring start, we need to wake them up. We need to make sure the players are held accountable here. And by doing that, you need to scream and you need to sing and you need to chant. And if we as fans create a good enough atmosphere, the players should rise to it and their players should absolutely crap themselves at it. So the fans can have a difference in this game, and let's hope we do.
It was Silva and De Sarsi the other day. Obviously,
Who's playing left back?
Badashile played the other day at left back.
Did he? Yeah, he's not a left back.
He's not a left back.
Well, I know what that was.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good thing. By the way. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to work out who. Yeah,
he played there the other day. I'm just looking at who else they've had available the last few weeks. So going back to the win over Middlesbrough in the cup, Ben Chilwell. He's in and out the team. They've been looking after Ben Chilwell, so he'll
play.
You'd think if he's ready to go, it looks like he's probably ready to go, and they were probably just being a little bit careful with him at the weekend. So yeah, he did come on as well in that game. So yeah, You'd probably think it's going to be a back four of Gusto, De Sarsi, Silva and Chilwell, which is decent. Chilwell, obviously, he played like a left wing back position against us in the first game, and obviously he was involved in the goal and very nearly got another one. He was inches offside, so it'd be interesting to see if he goes back to that formation, Dan, because they've kind of stumbled upon this thing of Conor Gallagher like as a nominal number 10 kind of thing. But I mean, that's from an attacking point of view, like I said, they have struggled for strikers as well. They've been trying to find a rotating cast there. So from a Liverpool point of view, it kind of feels like we can't worry too much about what they're going to do. We're just going to have to do our 4-3-3 stuff and then kind of react on the fly, which, to be fair to Jürgen and the players, they've been good at. Even when they haven't started well, even if they got to half time and made the changes, it hasn't always been subs. Sometimes it's been tactically, but because they're all so flexible, if it is wrong from the start, they seem like they get onto it quite quickly and are able to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this Chelsea could be, there's a lot of different players and a lot of different formations available to them.
Yeah, and that we need to react to whatever they're doing 100%. Yeah, because it wouldn't shock me at all if Pochettino did come up or try and come up with some sort of master plan to negate what Liverpool have done so successfully recently, because Liverpool, albeit I agree with what Chloe was saying before about we're not firing all cylinders, far from it, but we are finding ways to win time and time again. And this might be another case of that. It might be another one of those games whereby for the first 20 minutes or whatever, it does look a little bit cagey, or a little bit, we're both trying to work each other out, big game of chess like. But Liverpool, more often than not this season, have negotiated that and worked out a way of hurting the opposition, and this could be another one of those occasions, like you say, whether it be from the bench or whether it be tactically. And I just think, as good as Liverpool sides have been in recent years, and there's been a couple of missteps as well along the way, of course there have, but we often sort of, if this way of playing doesn't win this game, our plan B wasn't always there, I think it's fair to say. If Salah and Mane weren't at it or whatever else, we did struggle occasionally, I think it's fair to say. But this side right now doesn't have that problem. If those two don't, if the wingers or whatever, if the attackers don't win it forward, centre-halves will chip in with goals, the midfield have chipped in with goals this season, Trent's chipped in with goals, exactly, yeah. So that is the beauty of this Liverpool side right now. They're coming from all over the place, and whatever Chelsea line up with, whatever they try and do to thwart us, we just need to conquer that.
Excuse me, absolutely, yeah, you're right. I'm going to get your score predictions in a moment, guys. So, you know, Chloe doesn't like score predictions, she thinks she's jinxing them, but we can half discuss it anyway. Before we do, let's have a little look at the context of this in the Premier League. Then, as it stands recording right now, Liverpool, of course, are top of the league, 48 points. Manchester City, 5 points behind. Obviously, have that game in hand against Brentford to be played in a few weeks as well. You've got Arsenal in third on 43, exactly the same as Aston Villa, Tottenham fifth on 40. I'll flick over to the matches tab then. In terms of those teams, Dan, Arsenal go to Forest tonight, which isn't easy.
A
lot of people, that might have already happened or whatever by the time you guys check the show out. But yeah, that isn't the easiest game for them. Forest are struggling a little bit, why they change manager, but it's not Arsenal's form isn't good enough to just presume that that's a banker win, is it?
No, far from it. It's certainly not the City ground. I think even when Forest were struggling under Steve Cooper, their home form was something they banked on and relied upon, because that can be a bit of a bear pit of an atmosphere, that. Yeah. So, and Arsenal historically have struggled in those type of grounds. They obviously just edged out Luton earlier on this season, so it's far from a nailed on 3 points. And especially under Nuno now, they've turned a bit of a corner, Forest. They've brought some more players in, they've got some players back from injury as well. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if there was drop points there. Maybe not a Forest win, but certainly drop points.
And Villa host Newcastle Club again, not the easiest tie for them. If you're talking teams in and around the top four, that actually feels like it could be a half decent game to watch. Villa Newcastle, yeah. 8:15 tonight. Again,
we'll
another
be
one.
There.
Yeah, it sounds a decent one. I've got footy, but after that, I might watch the second half. Yeah.
And then obviously the only one, I mean, City, we're all back on City Watch.
CBA with them.
We're all back on City Watch. The home against Burnley. I mean, Vincent Kompany might as well have a City trackie on. This Man City always batter Burnley. This is going to be a case of how many rather than how. Yeah. And what that probably means is, like, say, for the Reds, that game in hand has technically been paid at that point, and then the gap's only 2 points. It's going to feel a lot. They are going to win. You'd be shocked if they don't. Things are going to feel a little bit more tense as and when that goes in. People shouldn't lose their heads. If you're watching this now, and I'm including you, Chloe, because you do this, like, don't lose your heads when City beat Burnley, because City are going to beat Burnley.
It will happen.
I know it will, because our group chat, I always go, for fuck's sake, like, yeah, it's the first goal. They were playing Burnley. Chloe.
Yeah.
Like, they're winning again.
3 minutes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they're beating Bournemouth 4-0 again. Yeah, yeah. No shit. Like, these aren't the games that City lose. They've got Haaland back as well. So they're gonna beat City. City are gonna beat Burnley, are they?
Oh, easily. I'm expecting like a 6-8 nil for this one, to be honest. But if Burnley do want to show up and have some impact on this season, I mean, you're probably gonna go down anyway. But try and impact the title race for us.
Boost a few of them, if not else. Just stand on Ireland's foot and just test it out.
Yeah, just see what happens. But yeah, like you said, that'll be a nailed on win for City, and Liverpool just need to focus on themselves. Yeah. At this moment in time, you know, even though they do have a game in hand, that's against Brentford, and that, you know, with Ivan Toney, that's now not as easy as it would have been if they would have been able to play them at the time that the game was scheduled. And Brentford had their way with them last season, so we've got to hope that Ivan Toney and that Brentford side can do something. But Liverpool at the moment are the ones who are ahead, and we just need to focus on ourselves and get the jobs done, because as long as we focus on ourselves and we get the points that we need, nothing else matters. And that is a lot easier said than done, but it's mentally just preparing myself. That's all I'm doing. I'm just trying
if producer Joe can just clip this last 30 seconds so that when the Red Men group chat pings off at 7:31 tomorrow night, when Chloe's losing her shit on the way to the match, or she's sat in Old Anfield watching the City score their sixth goal, I'll just rewind that back to you, because it's easier said than done. Right then, as I mentioned it before, guys, score predictions. James has gone for a 2-2 draw. I don't know what that means.
James, come on, play the game.
I think he's on about City Burnley, to be fair.
Well done, James.
Thinking back on the context, I do apologise. I saw you down the river there, Jay. And then, I mean, quickly threw the net out. So yeah, let me know your score predictions, guys. Those who are watching along live with us now. Dan, I'll start with you then, go on.
Yeah. I've got a real optimism about this, which is very like me. I'm going to say...
We're both on brand today. We're all on brand,
Shock horror. I'm going to say Old Faithful 3-1 Liverpool.
Okay, that's a good scoreline as well. Mm. Don't mind that one.
2-0 the Reds.
2-0, okay. Spirit's gone for a 2-1 in the chat. Danny's gone for a 3-2. Anxiety's gone 4-1 with Chelsea scoring first. That would be quite a turnaround. Freedom of Greens with you, 2-0. Graham agrees with you. 3-1. 2-1 to the Reds. Late winner.
Oh, I think I might die by then.
85 plus onwards winner.
I'd love it, but my heart can't take it.
So I'm going 2-0, 2-1, 3-1.
Okay.
Darwin Nunez on the score sheet.
I reckon we come from behind to win 2-1.
I'd love it even more, to be honest. Yeah.
It'd be horrendous during
it would.
The relief afterwards would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, like when Nunes scores the 85th minute winner or something like that.
That's be riot.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would love a Casado own goal. That wins us it, please.
I mean, yeah absolutely. Who wouldn't? A few more score predictions before we go then. Chewett says 4-0 with a Casado own goal as well. So you're on the same wavelength there. Clint's gone for a 2-1. We've got 3-0 from Gibbo, etc. So it looks like most Reds are confident. Adam, 1-0, Gomez, 89th minute.
Oh, go on.
Oh, my God.
Bit of that.
Keep backing it, lad. Keep backing it.
Just stop shooting and shoot when he gets the ball.
I don't know who does that.
Off Ramfield, that is happening the other day. Like.
I know. I wrote this on Twitter the other day and people shout at me, calling me miserable. But like, it's literally, he's the last person you want shooting from 35 yards. If it goes inside, but.
The main problem with it is he started listening. That's the main issue. I don't mind people shouting it, but when he starts shooting, I've got a problem at that point.
He's been close once or twice, not
since people started shouting at him. No,
it doesn't really happen that much on the cop.
No,
I think it's the other sides of the stadium, but
it's the away end. It's the lower Annie, right? Then guys, thanks so much for joining us on the preview show. Thanks all you guys as well for joining us. Like I say, we join us for the watch along 7 p.m. tomorrow night with the Umtenta match build up when we react to Liverpool's team news, and then live from 8 p.m. ahead of the 8:15 kickoff for the entirety of the watch along. Keep an eye out on the channel as well for videos from the stadium from the likes of Chloe, Chris and Paul as well. And yeah, come back on Friday when we'll be previewing the Arsenal game, hopefully with 3 more points in the pocket after Chelsea. We'll see you all then.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.